All right, welcome back.
欢迎大家回座，我们开始接着试讲。
So lecture 4 is on the Trinitarian shape of the gospel.
第四讲讲的主要内容是福音有一个三一论的一个外形。
One of the questions that was asked after the first lecture was, how does the gospel influence the Christian life? How does the Trinity influence the Christian life?
在第一讲之后有个问题，有人问一个问题，就是说这个三一论如何影响我们基督徒的生活呢？
And so in this lecture we will address that question.
就在这一讲里面我们会讨论这个问题。
But we need to review what we just talked about in lecture 3, and that is the distinctions between the three persons, that the Son is begotten of the Father, the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, and the Father is the origin of the other two persons.
我们要稍微复习一下刚刚第三讲所讲的，就是圣子是圣父所生的，然后圣灵是圣父跟圣子所发出的。
The three persons are not interchangeable.
这三个位格之间是不能互换的。
The distinctions are revealed in Scripture, only begotten and proceeds.
圣经启示告诉我们圣子是从父那里出来从圣父所生的圣灵呢是从父那里出来的。
These relations of origin give coherence to our doctrine of the Trinity.
这样子他们的这个三个位格他们的本源给我们了一个三一论的一个融贯性一个一致性。
At the same time, they explain the identity of essence of the three persons and the distinction of the three persons.
所以这个教义也提供我们也告诉我们三个位格他们之间的本质是完全相同的，但是他们却有位格上的区分。
These relations of origin are the hinge from the Trinity to the Gospel.
这是我们讲从三位一体如何变成福音中间的这个一个关键的枢纽，就是这个他们之间他们的本源是他们之间他们是怎么来的。
The immanent relations of origin, begetting and proceeding, are the basis of the economic functions of the works of the Trinity.
那三位一体内在生命就是他们自己的内蕴关系，或者说他们内在关系，就是圣父生圣子，圣父跟圣子发出圣灵。是他们这个经世关系，我们说经世它的经世功能的一个基础。
The immanent relations of origin and the economic works of the three persons are distinct, and yet they are also closely related.
他们的经世的这个功能跟他们内蕴的关系，是独特的，但是又是可以区分的。
The immanent relations precede and ground the economic functions.
那他们的经世的这个功能，它的基础是他们之间的内蕴的关系。
Another term for the immanent relations of origin is the processions, that is the procession of the Son and the Spirit from the Father.
那在他们的内蕴关系里面，其中另外一个字是发出。是圣灵是由圣父跟圣子发出的。
And another term for the economic functions is missions.
那另外一个我们谈到经世的功能，另外一个词可以来说明这个经世功能的，就是我们可以说是宣教的一个使命。
The mission of the Son being sent into the world to become man, and the mission of the Spirit sent at Pentecost to apply this work of Christ to us.
圣子是被圣父所差来，来宣讲，来做他的使命，就是来为圣来完成他的工作。圣灵他有他的工作，就是在五旬节时候被拆下来。
According to theologian Fred Sanders, the missions reveal the processions.
那根据有一个神学家说， 这个宣教使命可以让我们认识什么叫做发出，就是圣灵在五旬节被交给下来。这个宣教使命可以让我们认识圣灵的浇灌。
For example, the fact that the Son is eternally begotten of the Father is revealed and made clear when we see Him coming into this world, being born of a virgin. The mission, the procession of the Son being eternally begotten of the Father is revealed in history when the Son is born of a virgin.
圣灵在永恒里面被生出来，是在他成为道成肉身这个事情上显出来的。
And the mission of the Spirit being sent at Pentecost is the revelation of the eternal procession of the Spirit.
那圣灵在五旬节被浇灌下来，也是在我们可以在永恒里面看到圣灵是从圣父跟圣子发出的。
So the two processions explain and ground the two missions.
所以这两个发出，就是圣父跟圣子发出圣灵，可以在他的宣教使命上面，在圣灵的工作上面可以看得到。
It's fitting that the Father, who eternally generated the Son, would also send the Son to accomplish the redemption of those whom the Father gave to Him.
OK，所以刚刚讲到，有两种发出，就是圣父差遣圣子，然后圣子有差遣圣灵。那这两种发出跟他们的宣教使命是有关系的。那圣父是差遣他在永恒里的爱子来救赎他的，来救赎圣父要赐给圣灵的这个赐给圣子的选民。所以这是圣父的差遣。
In the Gospel of John, 41 times we're told that the Father sent the Son.
那在约翰福音里面，我们看到，有谈到圣父差遣圣子，这个这样子的语句大概有四十一次之多。
And Paul twice uses this formula of the sending of the Son to focus on the Son's accomplishment of redemption.
那保罗也在他的书信里面两次谈到圣父差遣圣子，特别侧重的重点是。
Referring to the obedience of Christ under the law.
那这个圣子完成救赎工作，就是在顺服律法的这个行动。
His active obedience of perfectly keeping the law in our place.
那包括主动的，他的主动顺服就是完美的遵行了律法。
Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time had come. God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law.
基督的主动的顺服，就是他完全顺服律法，是在加拉太书第四章第四节，那里说到，极至时候满足，上帝就差遣他的儿子为女子所生，且生在律法以下。
And the passive obedience of Christ in bearing the curse of the law in our place.
那另外一个基督顺服的另外一方面，就是他的被动。 是指他完成了咒，他担负了律法的咒诅。
Romans 8 verse 3, God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin He condemned sin in the flesh.
基督的被动的顺服，就是他完成了律法的咒诅，担负了律法咒诅，是在罗马书第八章第三节，那里说到律法既因肉体软弱，有所不能行的。
So, because the Son is the one who is eternally begotten of the Father, it's fitting that He is the one that the Father sent into the world to accomplish redemption.
所以，既然圣父在永恒里面所生的，那很适合的就是圣父。
And that He would do so by His perfect obedience to God under the law.
那他完成救赎的方法就是他完全顺服律法的要求。
It is not that the Son eternally submits to and obeys the Father before He is sent.
那这不是说圣父在 圣子在永恒里面就顺服圣父，在他还没被拆了之前，他在永恒里就先顺服圣父。
That is the false doctrine of the eternal subordination of the Son.
那这是在之前有一些辩论，就是圣父就圣子在永恒里面就是顺服圣子在永恒里面就是顺服圣子，是一个错误的教义。
But rather, as the only begotten Son who became man, he then becomes obedient to God as a man.
那直到圣子造成肉身，他成为人，他才能顺服。我们才说到圣父、圣子如何顺从圣父。
What about the role of the Spirit?
那圣灵在这里面扮演什么样的角色呢？
Since the Spirit is the one who eternally proceeds from the Father and the Son, it's fitting that the Father and the Son sent the Spirit to apply the redemption accomplished by Christ to the elect.
那么圣灵既然是在永恒里面被圣父和圣子所差的，所发出的，那么我们就可以很适当的说，圣灵是被圣父上师所差，要来把基督的工作施行在选民的身上。
And we've already read many of these verses from the Gospel of John about the Spirit, but let's review them again.
那我们刚刚已经读到了很多关于圣灵的一些经文，我们刚之前也读过，我们再把这些经文再复习一下。
And notice how the work of the Spirit is focused upon applying the work of Christ to us.
那我们要特别注意的就是圣灵怎么样把基督所完成的工作应用在或者施行在我们身上。
John 14:26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you.
约翰福音十四章第二十六节说到，父因我的名所要差来的圣灵，他要将一切的事指教你们，并且要叫你们想起我对你们所说的一切话。
John 15:26, that when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me.
约翰福音十五章二十六节说到这个保惠师这件事情。那里说到，但我要从父那里差保惠师来，就是从父出来的真理的圣灵，他来了就要为我做见证。
John 16:13-14, when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will glorify me.For he will take what is mine and declare it to you.
在约翰福音十六章第13-14节说到，只等真理的圣灵来了，他要引导你们明白一切的真理，他要荣耀我，因为他要将授予我的告诉你们。
Reformed theologian Cornelis Venema says this: The fundamental work of the Spirit is to minister to us all that we have in Christ.
有一个神学家，改革宗神学家，叫做维内玛，他说到，圣灵的基本的工作就是把我们在基督里面所拥有的一切，就是把在基督里面的拥有的一切传递给我们。
That is why he is called the Spirit of Christ.
所以圣灵为什么会被称为神的基督的灵，就是因为这个原因。
The Spirit's ultimate work is to assure us of our adoption as sons through Christ, the eternal Son.
所以圣灵最终的工作是什么呢？就是他向我们保证，我们会被收养做神的儿女。
Romans 8:15-17, you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ.
在罗马书第八章第十五到十七节说到，你们所领受的。就是那使你们成为有儿子名分的灵，就借着他，借着圣灵，我们可以呼叫阿爸父。圣灵亲自与我们的灵一同做见证，说明我们是神的儿女。既然是儿女，也就是神的后嗣，我们就是神的后嗣，并且与基督同作后嗣。
So instead of an interchangeable Trinity, we have an ordered Trinity.
所以我们。拥有的不是一个可以互换位格的这样子的一位神，而是一个有次序的三一上帝。
We see the architectural role of the Father as the planner and the initiator.
那我们用建筑来比喻的话，圣父就是那位这个整栋建筑的规划者和一个发起者。
the meritorious role of the Son as the one sent to accomplish redemption outside of us in history.
那圣子呢？圣子扮演的角色就是他是要来赚取我们救恩的功劳的。他是被差来要在历史上面要在我们之外完成那个救赎的那位。
And the applicational role of the Spirit as the one who ministers to us and within us all that Christ has accomplished for us.
那圣灵在福音里面的角色就是他是扮演施行救恩，就是把救恩基督完成的工作施行在我们身上的这个角色。他把基督所成就一切传递给我们，而且住在我们里面。
The role of the Spirit working within us and in our hearts is emphasized by Paul in Ephesians 3, verses 16-17.
圣灵在我们里面的工作，住在我们里面那个工作，保罗是在他的书信以弗所书第三章里面提到这个圣灵住在我们这个工作。
Paul says that he is praying to the Father that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith.
保罗在以弗所书三章十六到十七也说到他正在向天父的祈祷，他求天父，求天父按着他丰盛的荣耀借着他的灵叫你们心里的力量，就是你们内在的人刚强起来，使基督因你们的信住在你们心里。
When we say that Christ dwells in our hearts, we're saying the Spirit dwells in our hearts.
当我们说基督住在我们里面，实际上我们是在说圣灵住在我们里面。
And also in Galatians 4, verses 4 to 6, But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons.And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
加太书第四章第六节也说到圣灵住在我们里面的工作。那里说到，极致圣灵满足，上帝就差遣他的儿子为女子所生，且生在律法以下，要把律法以下的人赎出来，叫我们得着儿子的名分。你们既为儿子，上帝就差他的儿子进入你们的心，呼叫阿爸父。
So my point is that the role of the Son in redemption is focused upon the work outside of us, accomplishing salvation for us, whereas the work of the Spirit is focused on the work in us and applying the work of Christ to our hearts.
所以我要强调的是圣灵，圣子跟圣灵在我们救恩上的工作是不同的。圣子是主要在我们外面完成先完成救赎的工作，然后圣灵住在我们里面把基督所完成的外在的工作施行在我们心里面。
And these roles in the economy of salvation are fitting because they are based on their eternal roles, their eternal procession.
我们说这些他们在今世上面的这些工，就是他对外的工作，他们各自扮演不同的角色是合适的。那这个基础是因为他们有一个内蕴的关系，他们是一个内在的。这个三一神的生命。
It's fitting that the Father's only begotten Son is the one who has the role of obeying the Father as man to merit and accomplish our redemption.
那所以圣子他扮演的角色是适合的，是因为他是圣父所出的，所生的，所以他可以在他可以完成我们救赎的工作，由圣父来所差遣完成。
And it's fitting that the Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, has the role of taking what the Son has accomplished outside of us and applying it within us.
圣灵是从圣父和圣子所出的，所以我们说圣灵扮演的角色是什么？就是把圣灵在我们以外所完成的那个救赎工作适应到我们心里面，所以我们说这样圣灵所扮演的角色这也是适合的。
I would like to conclude this lecture by drawing out four implications from the Trinity-shaped gospel and showing how the Trinity-shaped gospel is the Reformation gospel, the Reformed gospel.
我们要从四点来讨论，到底三位一体这个教义跟我们的福音到底有什么关系？这四点会强调三位一体的教义，塑造了我们对福音的理解。
So point number one, The ordered Trinity highlights the particularity of redemption.
第一点就是这三位一体之间是一个有次序的，那这个次序就强调了救赎它是一个 有特定性的，是非常具体的一个工作。
In Reformed theology, we believe that redemption is particular. It is for the elect.
那我们相信，我们改革中文神学相信神的救赎是有特定性的，是他上帝拯救了选民。
Because of the Trinity, we understand this covenant of redemption between the Father and the Son and the Spirit.
因为有三位一体，所以我们知道有一个在永恩里面，圣父、圣子、圣灵之间有一个救赎之约。
For example, John chapter 6, verses 38 to 39.Jesus said, I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day.
约翰福音第六章三十八章到三十九节给我们看到了救赎之约的这个教义。那里说到我从天上降下来不是要按自己的意思行，乃是要按那差我来者的意思行。差我来者的意思就是他所赐给我的，叫我一个也不失落，在末日的时候却要叫他复活。
The second point is that the ordered Trinity highlights the priority of the forensic.
第二点是三位一体跟福音之间的关系的第二点，就谈到了这个有次序的三位一体。这个教义强调了在法庭层面。是一个很重一个重要一个重要性。
In the application of redemption to us, there are two elements or two aspects: the forensic and the transformative.
圣灵把基督的工作施行在我们身上有两个层面，一个是法庭的层面，一个是改变我们内在生命的一个层面。
The forensic we call justification. The transformative we call regeneration.
那在法庭层面呢，我们说这个是称义。那在内在转变的那个方面，我们说这是是我们成圣的工作。
Both benefits are secured by Christ and applied to the elect. God both justifies us and regenerates us.
那这两个工作都是圣灵就是上帝会确保这两个工作完成。圣子圣。在法庭上面会称我们为义，并且圣灵会使我们得到重生。
But when we look at the ordered Trinity, that helps us to understand that there's a priority to the forensic.
但是我们看三位一体，这个有次序的这个三位一体，我们会强调在救赎上面，这个在法庭层面的重要性，优先于内在生命转变的这个重要性。
One way of putting this in Trinitarian terms is to say that Christ earns the Spirit by His merit.
我们用三位一体的教义来说的话，就是基督透过他的功劳，他所赚得的功劳，替我们赚到了圣灵，让圣灵住在我们里面。
Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit.He has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Acts 2:33.
在使徒行传第二章第三十三节那里说到，基督高举在神的右边，又从父那里受了所应许的圣灵，就把你们所看见、所听见的那位圣灵浇灌下来。
The Spirit is life because of righteousness. Romans 8 verse 10.
罗马书第八章第十节，和本义和的译法是说心灵却因义而活，不过有一个新译本啊翻译的比较准确，就是他那里说圣灵却因为义的缘故赐给你们生命。
In other words, the Spirit transforms us because of the imputed righteousness of Christ.
换句话说，就是因为基督的义已经归算给我们了，所以借着圣灵可以改变我们的生命。
So we have the priority of the forensic as expressed in the ordering of the Father sending the Son and then the Son sending the Spirit.
所以我们有一个在法庭上面优先的顺序，就是因为圣父圣子差遣了圣灵，圣父 圣父、圣子差遣圣灵，所以这个差遣是让我们称义的，所以称义在法庭上面是一个具有比较优先的一个顺序。
Point number three, the ordered Trinity highlights the certainty of redemption.
第三点就是一个有次序的三位一体这个教义强调了救赎是确定的。
Romans 8 verse 30, those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified.
那罗马书第八章第三节提到了这个救恩的一个确定性，就是预先所定下来的人又招他们来，所招来的人又称他们为义，所称义的人呢又叫他们得着荣耀。
If the work of salvation, both in its accomplishment and its application, is the work of the triune God, then it is absolutely certain and secure.
如果救恩的工作是由三位一体上帝所完成的，那他这个救恩的工作就决定是确定的，是有把握的。
And then point number four, the ordered Trinity highlights the ultimate aim or purpose of redemption, which is communion with God.
第四点，这个有次序的三位一体教义也强调了救赎，它有一个最终的目的，就是让圣徒与神可以相通。
It's not wrong to say that the ultimate purpose is the glory of God, but what does that mean?
那我们说这个最终的目的是荣耀神，就是当然这样的说法是没有错的，但是这到底是什么意思呢？
It is the glory of God, but it is through our communion with God.
当然最重要就是要说什么叫荣耀神呢，就是透过我们与神的相交。
Ephesians chapter 2 verses 18 to 21 explains this.
以弗所书第二章十八到二十二节解释了这一点。
Notice the reference to the Trinity in verse 18.
注意到第十八节提到了三位一体。
For through him, that is through Christ, we have access, we both have access in one spirit to the Father.
这里说到我们两下借着他被一个圣灵所感，所以进到父前面前。
And then he says, so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together,into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit.
从第十八节开始，因为你们两下借着他被一个圣灵所感，得以进到父面前，这样你们就不再做外人和客旅了，是与圣徒同国，是神家里的人了，并且被建造在使徒和先知的根基上，有基督耶稣做房角石，各房靠他联络得合适，渐渐成为主的圣殿。你们也靠他同被建造，成为神借着圣灵居住的所在。
The Trinity is mentioned again in verse 22. In him, that is in Christ, you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God, that is the Father, by the Spirit.
第二十二节就再次提到三位一体，这里说到你们也借着他，也就是基督，同被建造，成为神，就是上帝，成为神借着圣灵居住的所在，所以这里也提到了三位一体的工作。
Through the work of salvation by Christ applied by the Spirit, we are brought into the triune life of God.
借着基督所完成的工作，透过圣灵，我们就被带入上帝的三一生命里面。
So that we might be the dwelling place for God by the Spirit forever.
所以我们就可以成为圣灵，上帝借着圣灵永远住在我们里面的一个圣殿。
Praise God. All right. We have time for some more questions.
我们还有其他的一点时间可以回答问题。王牧呢？有没有问题？ Any questions?
Yeah. Yes, I will definitely think about doing that. Yeah. It takes the vision away from yourself to God. Yeah.
All right. So if you have some questions, we can take some questions from them.
Yeah, the word person in theology is, it's hard to define, and it's also a little bit misleading because we use the word person in ordinary conversation to refer to people like you and me, but that's not quite what we mean when we're talking about God.
So
we have to be careful, yeah.
Let me translate. So, 问题是说, 怎么去定义位格这个词, 因为位格, 因为在有的时候像例如像加尔文他反对去特别给出这种神学上的这种定义，更倾向于说我们只能去从负面从否定的层面去定义位格，其实去定义这些概念不是什么，而不是从正面能够给出一个就是完全完整的一个定义，所以这是否这种否定神学是否可以应用在对 位格的定义上，对吧？然后，李博士说，这个的确，这个词是很难定义的，而且这个词，当我们使用正常英文当中用这个 person 这个词，我们是指一个含义，但是在神学上并不是跟我们日常使用的意思是一样的。Yeah,
and you're right. Calvin was very cautious about not wanting to get into speculation. He wanted to avoid speculation and just follow scripture.
所以你提到加尔文不想去做出这种神学上的定义也是对的，因为加尔文不喜欢去做这种神学上的思辨，他更希望用圣经简单的话来去陈述神学，这是他的人文主义，这是我说。
And so what I would argue is that the best way to define person is not to define the term itself, but simply to define what are the three persons, what distinguishes them. It's that the Father is unbegotten, the Son is begotten, and the Spirit proceeds.
所以我觉得去定义位格不如去直接说这三个位格他们 它独特之处到底是什么？就是圣父是生者，圣子是被生者，圣灵是被发出者。 你是说那个 aseity 吗？ aseity， OK， OK， let me translate。
OK。
Do you get the question？
I think so。 Did you say aseity？
aseity， yeah， aseity，
aseity。 OK。 No， can you repeat the question using aseity？ I didn't hear that part。
Yeah， so the question is， you can only say God is ase。
Oh， OK。
But you can't say the Son is ase。
Okay, so yeah, you're getting into the whole debate over the aseity of the Son. So the
okay, yeah. let me briefly translate that. 所以问题是， 如果我们无法去就是给出准确的神学的位格的这种定义的话，那么因为有的时候有的神学家会说，我们只能说上帝本身是自存的，但是我们不能说每一个位格本身自存。这个我们应该怎么去看这个圣子的自存性的问题？这是一个神学上的辩论。对。
The first thing we have to define is this word aseity. Aseity is an attribute of God that means God is of Himself and not of something else.
所以这个词自存 aseity 这个词的意思指的就是上帝是自存的，它不是它的存有不是源自于其他的东西。
God does not depend upon anything outside of Himself.
上帝不依靠任何其他的东西来存在。
He has life in Himself.
他在自己就有生命。
So then the question is that an attribute that we can give to only the essence of God, or does it also apply to the person of the Son?
所以现在问题是这个。这个自存性是否只能应用在神性本质里，还是说我们可以把这个应用在位格里？
Right. And the traditional Reformed view of that is that the Son does not have aseity as to his person, but he does have aseity as to his divine essence.
所以凯格宗的传统的教导是圣子在他的位格本身并没有自存性，但是在他所获得的这种完全的神性被传递给他的这个本质里面，他是有自存性的。
Because if we say he has aseity with respect to his personhood, then we would be denying the eternal generation of the Son.
所以如果我们说这个自存性是在于位格上的话，那么我们就否定了圣子这个位格是永恒受生的这一点。
But because the Son has full ontological deity, and deity is ase, therefore as to his divine nature, he does have aseity.
但是我们既然说这个是一个不可分割的神性本质，同等的属于三个位格当中的每一个位格，那么圣子他获得了完全的神性，这个神性里面包含着自存性这个属性，所以按照他的神性来讲，他是自存的。
Does that help?
So distinction without separation.
Yeah. But that was Calvin's view as well. So
Calvin says we can say autotheos.
Yes.
We can say the Son is autotheos.
Yes.
He is sharing the aseity through the communication of
right.
substance.
Right. Yeah, that's a very interesting question.
Do you want to translate that question?
Yeah, you should.
So, 这个问题是说，虽然我们知道这个三位一体的教义，它的就基本上大体来讲是不会改变，但是在这个历史发展的各个时期，肯定也会有一些，有一些侧重点上的不同，或者是这种，一些具体表达方式上的一些变化，能不能简单的描绘一下在历史当中这个教义的一些不同的呈现的方式，或者是一些不同的讨论的这个焦点吧。
Mm-hmm. So, for example, one of the questions that people have is, was there a major break from the Reformation Did the Reformation bring about any substantial changes in the doctrine of the Trinity from what went before?
所以其中一个历史上的研究就是在看说到底16世纪的宗教改革有没有在这个三一论上做出任何的贡献，有没有就是加入一些新的思想在这个教义里面，这是其中一个历史神学当中的研究。
Yeah. And my belief is that the reformers, Calvin, the Reformed confessions did not make any substantial changes to the doctrine of the Trinity that was received from the Roman Catholic Church in the Middle Ages.
我的理解是宗教改革并没有添加任何在三一论上的这种本质上的这些改变，做出任何的本质上的改变，他们还是延续了初代教会和中世纪教会的传统。
But there were other people at that time, such as the Socinians and others, who were questioning the Trinity in the 16th and 17th century.
但是在16世纪的确有一群人去质疑传统的三一论，那这些就是我们被视为是异端的，就是例如苏西尼主义者，他们会质疑三一论的这样的教导。
And that was because they were thinking in their minds that the Reformation hadn't gone far enough.
那苏西尼主义者他们认为改教家们的改革并没有走得特别彻底，他们认为在这项教育上他们也要改革。
So they wanted to question not just justification and the church and sacraments, but they wanted to throw out everything and question even the Trinity.
所以他们说改教家们只是在这个称义、教会论、圣礼观这些方面去改革，但是苏西尼派他们想要把整个基督教的神学从头到尾的全部重新的改革过。
And then later, when you get into the Enlightenment and the 19th century and so on, you have other more liberal theologians that are making changes to the Trinity in a way that's not orthodox.
另外到现代神学，19世纪，一些现代神学家们他们会用一种现代神学的方式处理三一论，他们所得处理的这个产生的结果并不是传统意义上的三一论，尽管他们可能会用同样的词，但是可能他们所指的东西不一样。For example, Hegel.
Yeah.
不是，例如黑格尔，对吧？他也会用三一， yeah. 他也会用三一，对吧？父子圣灵， yeah. 但是他所指的是历史上的三个时期。
And in the 20th century, the biggest trend is called social Trinitarianism, which views the Trinity as three people that are in a relationship with each other.
另外一个近代的现代神学当中一个特别流行的一种三一论叫做社会性三一论 ,social Trinitarianism. 社会性三一论所指的就是他们反对神的纯一性，所以把三位一体三个位格认为是三个独立的个体形成一个社会，形成一个社群。然后用这个进行一些政治上的应用。Yeah.
That's good.
That's a good question. 很好的问题。大家还有什么其他的问题？ Okay, that lady first. 你可以用中文，也可以。Okay. Okay. Okay, so the question is, regarding incarnation, for men as creature, it's very difficult to reach the divine, so that God the Son would descend to become a human. So that we can be united with God. So the question would be, what's the significance of this for us as human beings? Is that what you mean? What's the significance? What's the implication of incarnation for us as human beings, and be united with the second person of the Trinity and our relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I keep thinking of John 1:18. You know, no one has seen God at any time. We can't see God, but the only begotten God, He has made Him known.
So, 看见过神，上帝是我们看不见的，但是在父怀里的独生的神把自己显明出来，就是这位道成肉身的神，所以使我们能够真的看到上帝，能够I added some my own thing. First John, like I touch God, right?
Yeah.
I touch Him, I see Him, I hear Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
所以这位道成肉身的上帝可以让我们去碰触，去看到，去听到他说话。
And Jesus is the mediator between God and man, because He is both God and man, and He can bring us to the Father.
所以耶稣是神和人中间的中保，这个意思就是他只有他才有资格做这个中保，因为他既是完全的上帝，又是完全的人，所以他能够把我们带到上帝面前。
The answer is Jesus. He's the one that bridges the gap and brings us to God.
所以耶稣是那个把神跟人之间那个深渊去填补那个深渊的，把我们连接在上帝里面的这个唯一的途径。这个回答了你的问题吗？还是说你有什么更具体的一些问题？好。你可以再表述更清楚说，就是说你的意思是说，耶稣把我们带到神的面前，会让我们产生偶像崇拜吗？僭越神的位置，人想当 OK。你觉得你的意思是说，当耶稣把我们带到神面前的时候，我们就跟神在一个同一个平面上了，所以我们是不是就反而是冒犯了神，对吗？这是不是有这种 OK，现在我明白你的点在哪儿。So the question is, if so, that through Christ that we we come close to God. Does that violate God's sovereignty, and does that make us equal with God? 是不是我们与神变成同等？ Or like we become God? 我们会变成神？
Right. Yeah. No, we don't become God. That's not possible.
我们与神借着基督与神在天上的神联合亲近，但是我们本身不会变成神。你是在说为什么中国人会有很多的神像吗？想要做神的罪恶的根源在于基督这个位格吗？在哦、OK 我还没有完全 get 到你的点，但是让我来翻译一下吧。就是 Well the question isNow it's kind of like, so we have an incarnate God, right? There's a humanity and a deity in the same person of Christ. Does that relate to our own desire to become God? Like there is something that man and God can be united and...Does that originate our own desire to become God?
Mm, I see.
It's a very interesting question, though.
Yeah. Okay. well, first of all, when the second person of the Trinity becomes incarnate, he takes a human nature into union with himself, but...that human nature does not become God.
Okay. 所以当耶稣第二位格的上帝道成肉身来取了人性成为人，他所取的人性本身并没有变成神，并没有变成神性。
And so then when we come to know God through Christ, we are not becoming God, we are simplyhaving our sins forgiven and receiving God's favor and love through Christ. But we're not becoming God.
所以当我们借着基督这个完全的神完全的人与上帝和好来与上帝联合，并不是说我们的人性变成了神性，而是说我们在基督的这个人性里与基督联合，我们的罪被基督承受了，在他的人性当中承受了，然后我们的罪被赦免了，我们可以与上帝和好，但是我们依旧我们的本性本质还是人，然后上帝的本质还是上帝。
What Christ does in saving us from our sins is to restore our human nature to be the way it should have been before Adam sinned. It's not to go beyond that to become God.
所以当耶稣来的救赎的工作是把我们犯罪堕落的人性，最终在这个复活的时候，能够带来就是让我们的整个这个人性被带到最完全的状态，是亚当起初被造的人性原本所要达到的目标，但是那个目标并不是变成神性，而是人性的最完美的状态，但是依旧是受造物。所以这个道成肉身 ，so I'll add some my own thinking. So 这个道成肉身呢， 他并不是把人性跟神性混在一起，他还是两性是完全独立存在的，他是不相混的。所以加克顿信经说耶稣基督取着两性彼此不混，但是彼此也不分，所以人性没有变成神。所以我们在基督这个完美的这个人性当中所获得的不会是僭越神，神还是神。所以我们敬拜耶稣基督，敬拜的也不是耶稣基督的人性，我们敬拜的是第二位格的圣子上帝。我们与耶稣基督联合，不是联合在第二位格的圣子上帝的神性上，我们是联合在耶稣基督所取的人性上。所以这是神学当中的一些非常重要的，但是很细微的一些差别。所以我们与基督联合，不是联合在他的神性上，我们无法与神性联合，我们是人。所以我们是人，基督作为幕后的亚当，他是因为他取了人性，所以我们联合在他的人性上。然后我们作为他的身上的肢体，与基督联合。但我们与基督联合，同时我们又敬拜基督。我们敬拜基督，不是敬拜他作为人，那样就变成偶像崇拜了。所以我们敬拜的是第二位格的上帝。所以这是两性之间的区分。So basically, what I said, yeah, thank you. Basically, what I said, just double check with you, see if I'm a heresy. So when he assumed the human nature, the two natures does not confuse. Well, they remain distinct, yet united. So when we say we are united to Christ, we are saying that we're united to his human nature, not his divine nature. And when we say we worship Christ, we're saying that we're worshiping him as God, not as a human. So those distinctions of two natures are crucial to avoid idolatry, at the same time giving us confidence that we have access to God.
Yes, you're not a heresy. Thank you.
OK， 问题是我们如何理解启示录里面写给七间教会的书信？那七间教会的书信是基督写给这些教会的，但是在书信里面说话的是圣灵，这个我们怎么去解释这个位格之间的替换？而同时又不陷入到这个撒布留主义，就是这个面具说，就是位格之间只是不同的角色，但是他们不是彼此不同的位格的这样的一个异端的思想了。
Yes, I think you're right. It can't be Sabellianism, which would be denying the distinctions between the three persons and making them all one. So I think you're right. It's the inseparable operations. But even more specific than that, it goes back to the Gospel of John.Where Jesus predicted that the Spirit would come and his purpose and role would be to minister Christ to us, to teach us all that Christ has taught us. So,
所以你刚才说的是对的，就是我们不能用撒布留方式去解释就是取消了这个位格之间的不同所以是从这个三个位格的不可分割性来的。也就是那从另外一个角度，这个启示录里面的书信也其实是印证了耶稣在约翰福音当中所说的，当圣灵来，他要来把我要说的话告诉你们。所以 go ahead。
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, this verse, oh, go ahead.
Okay. 所以这个问题是在约翰福音第五章第二十二节那里面耶稣说父不审判人要把审判的权柄交给子。那从这个地方我们怎么去解释这个三个位格之间工作外部工作的不可分割性似乎看到父没有参与不参与到审判工作是子在执行审判而这里面并没有提到圣灵所以怎么去来看这个三个位格同时在审判工作当中不可分割。
So let me read the verse. It says, For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. So that seems at first to deny inseparable operations.
所以这个首先这里面说父不审判什么人要把审判的权柄交给子这似乎好像否认了不可三个位格外部工作的不可分。
But I don't think it really does, because if you look at the context, it's very clear that whatever the Son is doing, the Father is doing as well.
但是如果你看上下文的话，前面他提到了父不论父做什么，子也会做什么。
So let me read the verse just before. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Son does, that the Son does likewise.
所以让我读前面几段的经文，从第十九节那里面，耶稣说。我实实在在告诉你子凭着自己不能做什么他只是看到了父所做的他才不论父做什么子也照样如此这样做所以前面已经提到了这个子所做的事情是照着父的样子做的
And also the verse after says that the Father judges no one but has given all judgment to the Son that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father So
所以在接下来另外一节经文他提到说父把这个审判的权柄交给子好叫目的是好叫人尊重子如同尊重父一样所以这审判的权柄的交托这个本身也是父跟子之间的共同的作用的一个
So it must mean not that the father does not judge but that he does not judge without the son
所以这里面更合理的解释是不是说父不完全不审判而是说父不审判除非他跟子一同审判
Sometimes the Bible uses antithetical language when it actually means more of a when it's not so not to be taken so strongly but to be taken as an explanation of a different kind of difference
圣经有的时候这种对立的语言他其实要表达的并不是就是否定其中任何一方而是要带给我们一个就是新的一个角度去思考Those are great questions
Did you want to get into eternal functional subordination?
Alright, let's do it
Okay
So there's some bonus part that Lee and I was talking about. Maybe we can just briefly introduce to you guys some related issues on doctrine of Trinity that has been recently been generated in, among churches. For one is the issue of eternal subordination of the Son to the Father. So maybe Lee, you wanted to just briefly, this, you know, introduce to us about what is this controversy and how does this started and what's your standing point and what's the current status of this debate?
Okay. So one of the modern discussions that's going on about the Trinity, kind of based on your question there, recent discussions.
这是近期的一些。
Yeah.
近期的一些关于三一论的这些讨论，所以其中一个近期的比较重要的一个讨论，就是提到圣子在永恒当中就是赐予圣父的这样的一个讨论。那我们就简单的请李博士来给我们谈一下这个问题。
So there are some scholars like Wayne Grudem who teach that the Father and the Son are equal in their being, but subordinate in role. Well, the Son is subordinate in role to the Father.
所以近期有一些这个福音派的神学家，例如这个古德恩他教导说尽管子和父从本质上是平等的，但是他们在角色上，在他们的任务上是有这样的一个等次的。
And the argument is that we can use this as a model for marriage, that just as the husband and the wife are equal in being, nevertheless the wife is subordinate to the husband.
他用这一点这个教义来类比婚姻当中的丈夫和妻子之间的角色。他认为说丈夫跟妻子同样的尽管他们是平等的，但是他们在角色上是一个有等次的顺序的。
So it's using the Trinity to support gender roles in the church and in marriage.
所以他用三一论来去支持他的在性别男女性别上的这样的一个观点。
And I myself personally agree with his view on the proper roles in marriage. I don't think the Trinity is the right reason for it.
我个人是支持他认为就是说在婚姻关系当中有各自的这种特殊的角色，但是我不认为用三位一体的教义去支持这个观点是合适的。
So he held, until recently, he held that he did not believe in the eternal generation of the Son.
他最近写到说他不相信圣子在永恒当中受生这个教义。
And instead, what he put in its place was the doctrine of the eternal submission of the Son.
他取而代之的是他形成了一个自己的教义，说这个圣子在永恒当中顺服于圣父。
And for him, this doctrine was not only important because it helps, in his view, to explain marriage, but also it helps to define what the distinctions between the three persons is.
所以他认为说他的这个圣子永恒的顺服不仅帮助他去定义婚姻的之间的这个男女关系，也能够帮助我们去定义三位一体之间本身的这种内在的关系。
And so that's why he wanted to teach eternal submission, not just in the incarnation, that the Son submits to the Father in going to the cross and doing the Father's will, but in eternity.
这是为什么他在这个教义里面要特别强调在永恒当中顺服。而不仅仅是传统的神学上所说的在耶稣基督的道成肉身和降杯当中子顺服父的旨意所以他要特别强调是永恒当中顺服。
So I think that the fundamental error of his thinking is in not understanding the traditional understanding of the Trinity as the Father begets the Son and the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. If he held to that, that would have prevented him from going to this other step.
所以我认为他所犯下的一个主要基本的错误是他并没有理解或者持守传统的圣子永恒的受生以及圣灵永恒的被发出这样的教义使得他就是用另外一种方式去定义就是永恒的顺服的这种方式去定义三位一体。
So one way to think about this is to go back to what we were saying before about the economic and the immanent Trinity.
所以帮助我们理解另外一个好的方式就是回到我们之前所区分的经世三一跟内蕴三一或者内在三一的区分。
In the economic Trinity,It's okay to say that the Son submits to the Father.
在经世三一，在上帝三位体上帝外部的工作当中，我们完全可以说子顺服父的旨意。
Because now we're talking about in the incarnation and the work of Christ as a man.
因为我们在谈到经世三一的时候，我们所谈的是圣子在他的降卑的状态，他成为人，他作为人要来顺服上帝的旨意。
So Grudem's mistake was to take the economic relationship and push that all the way back into eternity as if it's the imminent relationship as well.
但是古德恩的问题是把经世三一里面的这个人跟上帝之间的关系。道成肉身的第二位的圣子上帝，在作为人和上帝之间的关系，把他一路推到了内蕴三一，内在生命本身的关系。
The main proof text that he used to support that was 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3, which says that God is the head of Christ.
那他这样做的其中，他引用的一些经文就是《哥林多前书》第十一章第三节，那里面提到说，神是基督的头。
But I believe that that verse is referring to Christ as incarnate, not Christ, the second person of the Trinity from all eternity.
但是我认为那节经文里面所指的是指耶稣基督在道成肉身的状态下，他作为人，作为末后的亚当是这样的一个身份，但是并不是指第二位格的永恒当中的圣子上帝。That's good. That's great.